is the epistle reading from 1 Peter. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judged justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Here ends our text. Yeah, I know Jesus is the good shepherd. Kids stuff, right? So simple, so easy to understand. We probably don't think about it much. Except, of course, in times of stress or sorrow, then the Lord is my shepherd might be the only religious thought we're able to have. But Jesus isn't just a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. Well, what's a good shepherd? Think of a real shepherd. Go from what a real shepherd does to what Jesus does. A good shepherd knows his sheep. When you and I look at sheep, they all look alike. I cannot tell one from another. A good shepherd can and does. They don't all look alike to him. That's why he can name them. You're not a nameless, faceless sheep to Jesus. He knows you by name. He knows you as an individual, distinct from everyone else. We may just be a number to our government, just a position to a company, just a face to our neighbors. But Jesus knows each of us intimately by name. A good shepherd knows his sheep and what each need. He knows which ones have cuts on their legs, which ones have weepy eyes, which one needs special attention, direction, or nutrition. A good shepherd examines his sheep to find out their needs. Jesus is a good shepherd. Surely he does no less. He knows what each of you needs, be it money, love, health, trials, courage, comfort, affliction, whatever. No good earthly shepherd fails to attend to the individual needs of his flock. So your Jesus doesn't fail to attend to yours. All of this is true. All of it's comforting, but it's not the gospel. There's nothing specifically gospel in a shepherd taking care of his sheep. The gospel is in the fact that Jesus knows and cares for sheep that love to wander. Wandering is not a particular characteristic of sheep. They're not known for wandering. But when one does, a good shepherd looks for it. Think about it. Don't you go looking for an animal that you've named and whose needs you know? Astray, well, that's a different thing. You say, I'm not looking for that. You never say that about a pet. Jesus, who is a good shepherd, doesn't say that easy either. Isaiah writes, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And our text doesn't just say, for you were like sheep going astray, but literally, for you were continually straying sheep. Just as you don't forget the name of a pet who wanders off from you, just as you don't forget the needs of a pet that strays, neither does a good shepherd, neither does the good shepherd. His love and compassion go out to sheep even while they are straying. While we're thinking that our Jesus is looking for us with a club or whip, he's looking for us like we look for our pet. His heart is heavy and broken and would willingly give the whole world just to have us safely back home. A good shepherd knows his sheep, and his good shepherd goes before his sheep. He doesn't drive his sheep. He leads them out in front. That's because sheep are totally defenseless. Sheep have no teeth to bite. They have no claws to scratch. They have no horns to poke. There's no more defenseless animal than a sheep. That's why you see them in petting zoos. That's why without a good shepherd, they are at the mercy of thieves, robbers, and wolves. What would you think of a shepherd who left his flock at the mercy of wild animals or evil men? Would you ever do that to your pet? If a pit bull had your cat cornered, would you just laugh? If a boy was tormenting your dog, would you just let him? Then what a monstrous sin it is ever to think, as we sometimes do, that our good shepherd would ever so abandon us. We think the Lord leaves us alone with the pit bull of disease snarling at us. We think Jesus sits back and watches as we're being tormented by someone or something. No, no, 1,000 times no. No pet owner, let alone good shepherd, would ever allow such a thing to take place. Good shepherds make their sheep to lie down in green pastures. They lead them beside still waters, and they prepare tables for them in the presence of their enemies. All of these are images from Psalm 23. A good shepherd makes his flock to lie down in green pastures, which means there is so much grass, the sheep are full and they lay down content. The good shepherd finds still waters, damming up a stream by hand if need be, because sheep won't drink from running water. And since some plants are poisonous to sheep, a good shepherd goes ahead of his sheep and roots up the poisonous plants, stacking them up in piles throughout the pasture, and then he leads the sheep in, and so they eat in the presence of their enemies. Now that's what a good shepherd does for his sheep. This is the kind of thing that you do for your pets. Admit it. Some of you chop up their food into bite-sized little bits. Some of you buy special food just so your pet will eat. Some of you will ensure your pet has cool water by putting ice cubes in it. And all of us chase puppies around to pull things out of their mouth that they shouldn't eat. Now, if we will do that for pets, how much more does Jesus do that for us? So what an ugly sin it is to think our Jesus would be less competent or less loving than us. How dare we doubt that the twists and the turns in our life are the Lord leading us away from a particular pasture toward quiet waters and protecting us from our enemies. How could we ever think that we do more for our pets than Jesus does for his sheep? What gets in the way of us seeing Jesus doing at least as much for us as we do for our pets is this crazy conclusion that it's up to us defenseless, weak sheep to do things for the shepherd. The shepherd needs my wool or he's going to freeze. The shepherd needs me to sacrifice my body or he's going to starve. The shepherd needs me to lead him. Is that how it is with shepherds and their flocks? Is that how it is with you and your pets? Who provides for whom? Who sacrifices for whom? And when it really gets down to it, who really protects whom? Sheep baa and bleat. A good shepherd does the rest. There's one more thing a good shepherd does for his sheep. He dies for them. But here's where a comparison between Jesus and a good shepherd or a pet owner breaks down. Now, shepherds do put their life at risk for the sake of sheep. David said he killed a lion and a bear to protect his sheep. And pet owners have been known to rush back into a burning building to save a pet. But there's much more than gallantry going on when we speak of Jesus, the good shepherd, dying for his sheep. There's purpose and planning behind what Jesus did. A bear didn't suddenly come upon the flock. The fold suddenly didn't catch fire. No, Jesus purposely went to death because that's where the sheep were heading. He purposely went to hell because that's where sinful sheep must go. Can St. Peter make it any clearer for us? He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Now there's a good shepherd. Now there's a reason for always having a crucifix before our eyes. There is much more comfort in a crucifix than, say, a picture of Jesus, the good shepherd, carrying a little lamb. A crucified shepherd reminds us that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. That means the weight of sin, the shame of sin, the fear of punishment are not on the sheep. They are on the shepherd. So when we suffer in this life, and we will, it is not to pay for our sins. And you can bet, when guilt, shame, or fear creep into our thoughts, it is because we are not seeing our sins in his body on the tree, but on our body in life. But our good shepherd did more than die for sheep. He did more than bear our sins in his body on the cross. By his wounds, you have been healed. Friend, you are not healed by feeling badly for your sins. You are not healed by suffering physically for your sins. You are not healed by your world coming down around you for your sins. By his wounds, you have been healed. Again, this is why the image of our shepherd nailed to a cross with the wounds on his head, hands, and side visible is comforting. By those wounds, we have been healed. As sure as you see those wounds, so sure have you been healed. And push that word healed all the way through. Jesus' wounds means we've been healed not just of sin, but of death and disease. These things do not rule our life anymore. Our sins do not have the last words. Jesus' wounds do. Death does not have the last laugh. The wounds of Jesus do. Disease does not triumph over us. We triumph over it in the wounds of Jesus. This life marred by sins, overshadowed by death, decayed by disease, is not what the Good Shepherd has in mind for us. His purpose is not to extend your life down here as long as he can. No, that's what madmen do in their laboratories. That's what witches do in their potions. Jesus came that his sheep might have life to the full. A full life is one untainted by sin, unshaded by death, untouched by disease. His whole goal is to give his sheep that full life. It's not to get them to a certain educational level, a certain income level, or even a certain health level. His goal is much fuller than that. It's nothing short of everlasting life. Our problem is that we are but sheep. We are but pets. You ever tried to lead a pet of yours to a place it didn't want to go? It dug in. It scratched. It clawed, maybe even tried to bite you. But you didn't give up, did you? No, you were the owner. You loved this pet. You would do what is best for it despite itself. So it is with us and our good shepherd. We bite, we scratch, we claw as he leads us to the full life that is ours in the green pastures of his forgiving word, the full life that is ours in the quiet waters of baptism. He leads us to the full life that is ours at this table he prepares for us. All our biting, all our scratching, all our clawing will prevent him from getting us there as little as our pet prevents us from doing what is best for it. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And to life everlasting. Amen.